In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In his 2000th book, In the Heart of the Sea, Nathaniel Philbrick recounts the epic tragic voyage of the early 19th century whale ship, the Essex. The captain of the Essex was George Pollard Jr. and the first mate was Owen Chase. And Owen Chase later wrote a memoir about this voyage that became the inspiration for Herman Melville's Moby Dick. And fairly early on in the voyage, the Essex was caught off guard by a wicked, massive storm at sea. And Philbrick describes the storm this way. They could see it coming, a large black cloud rushing toward them from the southwest. It was said that the sharper and more defined the storm cloud, the worse the wind, thunder and lightning were also bad signs. When jagged streaks of lightning began to crackle out of the forbidding black sky and thunder boomed, Captain Pollard finally began to issue orders, but it was too late. So what happens is the crew of the Essex tries in vain to turn around away from the storm, and they're sideways when the storm hits them full force. And it turns the Essex on its side, literally, for a while the storm ravages the boat and the crew hang on for dear life. And finally, the Essex manages to right itself and the sky is clear and the storm has passed, but there's been significant loss. Philbrick continues, "The mood aboard the Essex sank into one of gloom. The ship had been severely damaged. Several sails, including both the main topgallant and the studding sail, had been torn into useless tatters. The cookhouse had been destroyed. The two whale boats that had hung off the port side of the ship had been torn away and washed away, along with all their gear. The spare boat in the stern had been crushed by the waves. Although the Essex's stern could be repaired, they would be without a single spare boat." And the crew managed to repair the stern of the Essex, and the voyage continued, only to end tragically with an encounter with a huge sperm whale, which you probably guessed. And storms at sea caught even these experienced sailors on the Essex off guard. And it can happen not just with whale ships, but with family boats. In our 1976 novel, Ordinary People, Judith Guest writes about what happened with the Conrad family, the Jarrett family in Chicago. The two sons of the Jarrett family, Buck, the old, strong, athletic one, the older of the two, the mom's favorite, and his younger brother, Conrad. And Buck and Conrad went out on the family boat on Lake Michigan one day just to have some fun and were caught off guard by a storm. And ironically enough, it was Buck, the older, stronger one, the better swimmer, who slipped away and drowned while the younger, weaker Conrad clung for his life. And in the aftermath of this tragedy, what happens with the Jarrett family is that Beth, the mom, and Calvin, the dad, they each have their own struggles, and Conrad wrestles with survivor's guilt. Conrad is convinced that it's his fault that his older brother Buck died. And so late in the novel, Conrad calls his therapist, Dr. Berger, in the middle of the night. Dr. Berger agrees to meet Conrad at his office, and they talk. Conrad cries out, I can't get through this. It's all hanging over my head. Dr. Berger asks, what's hanging over your head? Conrad continues, I don't know, I need something, I want something. I want to get off the hook. For what? For killing Buck, don't you know that? For letting him drown. And how did you do that? Dr. Berger asked. I don't know. I know that I did. I just know. but you were on opposite sides of the boat. So you couldn't see each other, right? And he was a better swimmer than you. He was stronger. He had more endurance. Yeah. So what is it that you think you could have done to keep Buck from drowning? Tears flood again in Conrad's eyes. I don't know, something. You don't understand, it has to be somebody's fault. Or what was the whole point of it? The point of it, Dr. Berger says, is that it happened. Now, at some point in your life, maybe today, I hope not, but it might be, you're caught off guard by some massive storm in your life that you just didn't see coming, that turns your life sideways and does a lot of damage, leaves a lot of loss, may leave you feeling guilty and out of control, may leave you feeling like Conrad, I can't get through this. In today's gospel lesson, the disciples, who were experienced fishermen, no strangers to the sea, were caught off guard by a wicked storm. Matthew tells us this. Jesus made the disciples get into the boat, go on ahead to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he dismissed the crowds, he went up a mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from land, for the wind was against them. The disciples were in the boat and then in the storm because Jesus had asked them to get in the boat and cross the sea. It wasn't even their idea. They were just doing what Jesus said to do. And yet still they found themselves caught off guard in a wicked storm at sea, battered by the waves, far from land. The wind against them. And maybe some of them were echoing Conrad and wondering what the point of it was. People often ask that in the middle of the hardest times in their life. And the point of this is... And yet Jesus comes right out to them in the midst of the storm and gives them grace. Matthew says, early in the morning, Jesus came walking toward them on the sea. The disciples saw him walking on the sea and they were terrified. It's a ghost. They cried out in fear. And immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Be not afraid." Jesus provided grace in the storm to his disciples, both in his reassuring presence and his reassuring words. "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Then Jesus gives more grace to an individual disciple, Peter. As you remember, Peter said, "If it's really you, Lord, ask me to come walk to you." And Jesus said, "Come on out." So Peter gets out of the boat, starts walking on the water toward Jesus. But then Peter's attention turns from Jesus to the storm, and he begins to sink. And Jesus hears a prayer from Peter. Peter cries out a very succinct prayer, a very gut-level prayer, a very to-the-point prayer. "Lord, save me." That's all he has time to yell out as he begins to sink in the water. And Jesus doesn't allow Peter to sink for a while so that he really learns his lesson. Jesus immediately reaches out his hand and saves him. "Oh, you have little faith. Why'd you doubt? I'm right here with you. I got you." And then they both get into the boat, and Matthew says the wind ceased. The storm was over. And the disciples, they're on the boat, the worn out, soaking wet, terrified, but now relieved, exhausted disciples, worship Jesus. "Truly, you are the Son of God." Jesus answered Peter's prayer, "Lord, save me." And he did. He saved Peter. Jesus gave all the disciples grace in the storm. And again, it was in the aftermath of this storm that the disciples were reminded that Jesus actually had been with them and saved them, that Jesus was indeed the Son of God. Later, Jesus provided grace in the storm, not just for the disciples, but for the whole world on Good Friday. As Jesus found himself in the midst of a storm of violent hate, vehement anger, blasphemous mockery, Jesus was battered not by waves of the sea, but battered by the fists of Roman soldiers and nailed to a cross, with not just the wind against him, but the whole world against him. Even Peter, who Jesus had literally saved from drowning, had denied him and was nowhere to be found. And yet Jesus still gave grace to the whole world. Matthew tells us that after Jesus breathed his last on the cross, there was an earthquake, and then those at the foot of the cross echoed what the disciples had said in the boat after the storm, "Truly, truly, this is the Son of God." And later, early in the morning, the risen Jesus continued to give grace. And on Easter evening, Jesus went to the disciples who were in a different kind of storm, a storm of grief, guilt, wondering like Conrad, what was the point of all of this? And Jesus met them again. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Take heart, it is I, be not afraid. And then, just as it happened in today's gospel account, later the risen Jesus gave the individual Peter grace in the midst of the storm in his heart, his raging storm of grief and guilt for denying Jesus at his darkest hour. And Jesus gave Peter grace in that storm, fully forgave him, fully restored him in the presence of his peers. Maybe today in your life, what Conrad experienced is what you're feeling. I can't get through this. I can't do this. I don't see the point of what's going on. And Jesus' words to his disciples on the sea are Jesus' words to you today. Take heart, it is I. Be not afraid. And although in the aftermath of the storms in your life, you may wonder what the point was, remember the gospel. Remember the gospel of God's grace, God's unconditional love for you, demonstrated definitively and historically in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Remember the gospel. The point of it is that it happened. When it comes to your relationship with God, you have nothing hanging over your head. You are off the hook. And rest assured, when you echo Peter's prayer, "Lord, save me," Jesus will, because Jesus always gives grace in the storm. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you next week.